You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Greetings, listener. Welcome to week one of Robo-tober, guaranteed to be electronically entertaining for your ears. Please ensure that the volume is not too high so that you do not damage your ears. Other than that, sit back, relax, and enjoy music.
Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
You know, the robot that Lewis needs the most is Tinder.
And Erica.
I'm here to protect and serve. Wink. Audio wink.
And you have joined us for what I think is our wildest month ever. Robo-tober, which is something we joked about earlier this year. Mark joked about it. We talked about Robo-tober, and we were then all set. And I started out thinking, no problem. Let's make it about cyborgs. Well, not enough movies in New World's catalog for that.
Oh.
That's not going to work. We've kind of talked about a lot of the ones with robots in it. So we're now going to be talking about what was the cause for the name, which is RoboCop, the animated series, which is something that we were like, how weird it is it that New World put that out? And that's what this month is about. All the weird shit that New World put out.
We're going to only talk about RoboCop the series for the entire month?
No, for this episode.
Oh, because the way you said that, it sounded like all we're talking about is this series the entire month.
We've already recorded another episode, Mark. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Wait.
Mark doesn't. Oh, no. Oh, Mark.
Do you guys smell toast?
Oh, no. What's happening to Mark? Mark's
he's malfunctioning. Get him back on his chair.
Right.
Get him back on his charge chair.
Hook yourself back up. We got to fix you up.
Shutting down.
Mark Fee.
Cannot continue podcast. Must rest.
That's right. This is the reason for this particular month we are talking about RoboCop. 1988's RoboCop, the animated series.
Detroit, the near future. Officer Alex J. Murphy and his partner Ann Lewis fight to rid the decaying city of the criminal element which infests it. After being mortally wounded in the line of duty, Officer Murphy is outfitted by OCP with bulletproof titanium robotic parts and with computer-enhanced motor and sensory capabilities. He has become the ultimate super cop. RoboCop.
That's right, 1988's RoboCop, the animated series, brought to you by Puppy Protect. Are you a gang member who owns a dog? You need Puppy Protect, the leading brand of dog armor. If you need to protect your dog from the arcade you're destroying, or the killdozer you're making, or the mall you've crumbled to the ground, you're going to need Puppy Protect. Okay, maybe you won't need it, but your dog sure will.
Are you sure it's not dog arfmer?
that's
way better. Of course, that is way better.
That's of course that should.
Wow,
corny. Okay, that's corny.
The animated series, of course, is based on the 1987 movie and developed by Rich Vogel and Mark Seidenberg, who had previously worked on The Muppet Babies and The Smurfs. Those are the shows
Muppet
they worked on.
Muppet Babies, we make our dreams come true. Muppet Babies has had a real resurgence.
Has it?
The kids, the youngs, found Muppet Babies, and they're into it. Okay. However, can confirm when watching RoboCop, the animated series, we're
watching
with youngs,
4 hours of the 12 episodes that is this series.
Four and a half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are the youngs? How the youngs like this?
Well, our son, and this is a direct quote, said, "I would not watch this if you weren't forcing me to watch it with you."
That's, you know, that's the 11-year-old set.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it missed the Fortnite crowd. I don't think they're into it.
Yep, they're not into it.
I share that exact same feeling about this series.
They're the ones that they created it. Of course, this is unbelievable to me that this is the first RoboCop thing. Now, if you've seen RoboCop,
like before the movie,
before the scene, this is it. This is the very first they did this, and then they made the
hold
movie.
Hold on, you and are blowing my mind. This. You're trying to tell me
this is
that
the first
this was
thing
an animated
follow.
Series first.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Because, I mean, I went into this thinking this is kind of inappropriate subject matter for a kid's cartoon series.
Sure.
I didn't realize that it was actually the cartoon series was inappropriate subject matter for a violent movie.
Yeah. So they were like, you know that kids' cartoon? It's kind of violent for kids, but like, what if we turn it into a really violent adult movie? Then that should be really good.
Okay.
And we'll add lots of satirical elements. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. This is the first thing that followed the original movie before the sequels, before they had a live action television show in the 90s, before any of that. This is the first thing to follow the original movie, which is wild to me that this is the
My God, I do not remember the live action in the 90s.
I don't
completely
either.
Miss that.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
was Nancy Allen in the TV series?
She was not in the TV series. She was in all the sequels, but she was not in the TV series. And I mean, if you're asking me, you're asking me, Ryan, do you own the TV series? Yes, I do own it. Yes.
Wow, that's a surprise,
Ryan. Why do you own the TV series?
Well, I don't. We own it, Erica. We own it.
Well, let me ask you then. I know we're not at final questions, but...
Oh, no.
Which is better, the animated series or the live action series?
Wow. Well, I have not watched the many, many hours of the live action series. I've only seen a pilot or the first episode.
I know what a pilot is. You didn't
know. Yeah. Well, it was for the listeners, not for you, but... But okay.
I always assume when you're talking, it's directly at me. Right. So.
Right. You ignore the listeners.
Literally.
You always ignore the listeners entirely, which is.
We have listeners?
That's right. I have to
not anymore after this episode.
Yeah. For the first episode, I didn't think it was terrible. That is on Letterboxd, the initial pilot episode. That is on Letterboxd, and the reviews there were not kind. But I didn't think it was, I thought it was okay. I mean, let me just say, I didn't have high expectations. I also didn't have high expectations for this, because it's a cartoon based on RoboCop. Which, by the way, if you want to watch the entire season of 12 episodes, they're only about like 20 to 22 minutes long, each episode. Mm-hmm. And you can find them all on YouTube. They're all there. They're normally lumped together, either back to back, or they're one episode rolls into the other.
So, 20 to 21 minutes, but the real time feel of each episode is about 45 to 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so you know.
A couple of them are snoozy 20 minutes, I'm not going to lie. If your eyes are already feeling heavy, if you're in a comfy spot, just
you're like, I'll wake up for the next one. I'll get the next one.
Yeah, plus, there's a real leap right around the time it's like, episode 8 when they go into the wilderness where they decide to we're gonna drop the other robots fighting RoboCop all the time and it'll be like some human nemesis. It kind of loses its touch there.
I don't know, Mark. That wasn't episode 8, that was episode 11. So into the wilderness, familiar with it. I know we're not at final questions, Buzz. Was that my favorite episode? Yes, it was.
The one where they throw Lewis out of the plane and just have her fend for herself in the middle of the California woods.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
He throws several people out of that
plane. And the scientist.
Yeah, the scientist.
He pushes her out, and she's passed out. And he's just like, good luck. Pulls the ripcord for her as he's tossing her. And he's like,
Yeah. Which,
that could have been dangerous in and of itself. Yeah, well, nothing then would compare, though, with Knight of the Archer, where his nemesis is a guy who dresses up like Errol Flynn and is pretending to be money back to
take from the rich to give to the poor.
And it turns out to just be a rich businessman anyway.
Who's trying to take down OCP by ruining their stock.
He's making RoboCop look bad because RoboCop wants to stop him and everyone's like, we like him. And I'm like, wow,
including Lewis.
We don't know what to do.
She gets the hots for old Archer. Right?
She has the hots.
Yeah.
Big time.
She almost gets married in another episode.
Oh, to the Sultan guy. Yeah.
Yeah. She is like, please, someone. I mean, this RoboCop guy is not he's not picking up any of these hints. Mm-hmm. They do not compute.
After RoboCop, I mean, she is dropping hints at RoboCop in the first five episodes.
Hints.
By hints, she's like, hey, RoboCop, that was awesome. Fuck me. And if you, are you okay? Are you starting to power down? I'll suck you off. But she is dropping hints, and he is none the wiser.
Mm-hmm. If he had a single friend on the force, somebody would have been like, hey, dude. I mean, your partner is like, begging for it, bro.
he has no one.
I mean, maybe no the sergeant, one. But kind of not really the sergeant, because the sergeant's just too busy. But like,
maybe
no
the
one,
scientist.
But she's always busy trying to just repair him, and then runs to talk to the old man at OCP. She's got she can't be bothered to like get
she
into
just
his
loves
day-to-day.
Science too goddamn much.
She's so
I don't remember from the
science.
Movie series. Did everybody hate RoboCop in the movie series?
Not like in the movie series, it might have been a little different. In the original movie, no.
That's what I'm saying. The movie series, like the original series, because like the cops hate him, the lieutenant hates him, like except for the doctor, the scientist, and Lewis, everyone hates him.
Right, right. It's really kind of a weird. Like they give him a lot of external tension in his life that he has to work through outside of all the bad guys he has to face.
And it's so crazy because I feel like if I was almost fatally wounded at work and then they replaced me with just like Robo Erica, people would be like, whatever. Like nobody would care. They'd be like, is she still doing all of her work? Yeah. Okay, great. But you know, she's half robot, right? Like 75% robot. I'd be like, who gives a shit? Did she turn in the reports? Yes. All right, move on. Like,
right.
Why do they care about him so much? He's just doing his job.
Like, it'd still be like, I'd be all rebuilt and you know, half titanium, and they'd be like, oof. But you know, layoffs are coming.
Yeah, it's like nobody would give a shit today if I was replaced by a robot. They'd be like, so what?
They're like, hey, never takes a sick day, so that's pretty sweet.
Right. Never goes on vacation, doesn't eat lunch. I mean, no bathroom breaks. Terrific.
It's a little weird when he sits down to his chair and hooks himself up to it and then has a nightmare and then he's like really weird.
Oh, you and I have clearly never worked in the office together. I have daytime nightmares all the time.
Do you hook yourself into your chair first?
Yeah.
Like strap in?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to slide out.
That's the whole thing about falling asleep during the day. You don't want to slide out of a chair.
That's
you gotta
right.
keep yourself strapped in.
That's
right. Yeah, there is a scene where, like, in the original movie where they do all the cops shoot at him, but that's because they're ordered to do so because Ronnie Cox behind the scenes is trying to get rid of him because he wants his robot to be the one, his project. But it's not as if, like, a lot of the cops are like, we don't want to shoot him. He's a cop, you know? So, like, he's not like, everyone's like, man, I hate this RoboCop. He sucks the way he does everything.
Yeah, in the animated series, all the other cops are super jelly of him, and they would love to see him dead.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. But we said where you can watch this. Let's talk about our made-up Letterbox synopsis for RoboCop, the animated series, because it is not on a Letterbox, because it is a TV show. It's not on a Letterbox. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Who better than us? the New World Podcast, which has a
New World Pictures Podcast.
Well, yes, but that's the name of our...
God, how quickly can we replace Ryan with Robo Ryan? Jesus.
New World Podcast is our name on Letterboxd, guys. You'd let me fucking finish the sentence. You know what? I want both of you gone. I want both of you out of here.
Hate Robo Ryan. I wish he was dead. If I had a gun, I would blast him immediately. But then I'm also in love with him. He's half man or 25% man.
So, Erica, your letterbox. What's your letterbox synopsis? Your made-up letterbox synopsis for RoboCop, the animated series.
Will RoboCop get hurt during this episode? Yes. But will he ultimately be okay? Yes. RoboCop, the animated series.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's pretty much it. That's the plot of every episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mark, what's your made-up synopsis?
RoboCop, the animated series, paints a majestic picture of the future where Detroit is perpetually a piece of shit falling down city. I mean, can Detroit get a break?
I know.
No.
Right?
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
For me, RoboCop the animated series is about one sergeant's obsession with sports.
And paperwork. That guy loves the bureaucracy of it all. He loves it. He lives for it.
But yeah, let's dig into this first episode. Our first episode of Crime called Crime Wave is, starts with a run on a blood bank. We're only going to, by the way, just so everyone knows, we're just going to talk about the first episode. we may mention the other ones, but we're going to run through, we're going to run through just the first episode. If you were like, holy shit, they're going to run through every episode. No, we're not. Yeah. We respect you too much to do that.
But also just to set the tone. The number one episode deals with robbing a blood bank. Enjoy, blood kids. Bank.
Yep.
Saddle up. Get your Saturday morning cartoons on and get your cereal. Time to watch a blood bank being robbed.
Aren't they stealing plasma?
They're at the blood bank because they say plasma will fetch a high price in the black market.
Yeah.
Which is, as Erica's pointing out, a great lesson for young people to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Mom and Dad, can I get rid of some of my plasma and sell it?
Yeah. This episode brought to you by the American Heart Association. Donate today.
There's a lot of things that are the same with the RoboCop series, such as RoboCop, who also goes by Murphy, which is what he mentions at the end of the RoboCop movie, where he's kind of remembered a little bit about himself. Toying with humanity part of himself that's prevalent in the movie and is part of the journey of the character is not really there very much here. And literally at any point, somebody will say, he's just a machine, and they'll go, he's also a man. But also they'll say, well, that's because he's a guy. And someone say, but he's also a robot. So it's like, that's about as far as that sort of like, who is he? The kind of argument will go. It's not like the movie.
Well, and then Lewis will make the occasional comment of like, oh, are those some emotions coming out of you?
Right.
And, you know, then he follows it up with some real mundane retort that reminds her that no, he is just a robot, I guess.
right he's kind of reverted at the end of the movie. He like says his name is Murphy and kind of smiles and walks off, but in the TV series he's still like, yes, my name is Murphy, but that's about all I'll concede about my humanity. I'm not gonna do anything else
until that very last episode when he crumples the picture of his of himself with his family.
He crumples it.
You see it through his robo vision.
The RoboVision,
Which is really all I needed from a final episode. I'm glad they didn't make any more, because I feel like that just closed the loop on the whole story.
It didn't finished need to go any just further. just a beautiful arc that they had built for 11 episodes prior, and you were like, "This says it all. This is really this is capped
fiend.
It off.
Like, close the book on RoboCop. Yeah.
Once you finish the story's done. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. He also still has his partner, Ann Lewis, as we mentioned. She's voiced by Susan Roman, a Canadian voice actress who had worked on Care Bears and Starcom, the U.S. Space Force, prior to this. And she'd go on, her big claim to fame was she was a voice on Sailor Moon. And that was her big claim
to
fame.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
There's also some other familiar characters, namely, as we mentioned, RoboCop's boss of the precinct, Sergeant Reed. And then another character, Lieutenant Hedgecock, the guy who's not a fan of RoboCop.
Yeah, Hedgecock.
Nice play, Robo. These dudes are going to be benched for a long time.
What do you mean, nice play? They never would have set that bomb if he hadn't gone charging in half-cocked.
I was following my prime directive.
Prime directive?
Yes. Serve the public trust. Uphold the law. Protect the innocent.
You almost blew the whole operation, bucket brain.
I calculated a 99.7% probability of success.
Yeah, so Lieutenant Hedgecock in the movie is a side character who's dressed like a SWAT team member, and he helps call in a something where RoboCop comes in, and then later he's leading the charge to just shoot RoboCop because he's been ordered to do so. At the scene that we mentioned earlier. So, like, that's it for Hedgecock in the movie. But in the show, he hates RoboCop because he dares to go in half-cocked.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a bucket brain. I mean, RoboCop's a bucket brain. Let's be real.
I mean, you want to hedge your cock is what you want to do when you go in. And when you hedge your cock, you go in full cock. That's hedging your cock.
Yeah. And his anger and frustration continues in the series. But normally, it's just sort of like whining about RoboCop. But he does actually get an episode to deal with it, which is in episode 5, where he gets to test out Dr. McNamara's new iron suit and fight RoboCop, but loses.
But in the process, they proceed to destroy half of Detroit. That episode, all the police squad is watching this like it's American Gladiator, except they're out on the streets like destroying public property at every turn. It also is my favorite episode, but we'll get to that.
Oh,
okay. Interesting. That's the one. Okay. Well, the stuff that's still in place, the old man is still in charge of OCP. He seems still basically based on Daniel O'Herlihy, who is the guy who plays the old man in the original movie and is also one of the main bad guys in Halloween 3. So, but that's the movie. And one I can never figure out, like, do they want the old man to be a good guy or a bad guy? There's
in Halloween 3?
In Halloween 3, that's what I'm saying. Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? Is he just an enterprising businessman who just wants to sell Halloween masks? Or is he enterprising?
What is the long play for Halloween 3? What's your end goal?
To me, they seem very much in the spirit of Halloween, the store. Spirit of Halloween store, where they just pop up for like a month and they're like, here we go, we got these masks to sell. And then all the children will be dead. Then we got to go to a new city and pop back up.
Right.
And that's it. Once a year, we pop in and then we make some cash and that lasts us till the next October and the kids are all dead. What's that last part do for you?
If it really works, you got to wait 10 more years before you set up your next Spirit Halloween because all the kids are dead.
Right.
So you're like, uh-oh, well.
Yeah, you got to make your bankroll there because you got to be like, man, Those masks are not cheap. You know that.
Are we also led to believe in Halloween 3 that nobody in England figured out that part of Stonehenge was missing? Like, that wasn't a bigger news story?
Do the people in England go? It's a tourist thing, right? They don't pay any attention. You know what I mean?
But I would think that would be a pretty big story because it's not like you could just get it to Northern California overnight. So it's going to be a few days of people saying, where did that go?
That's the other thing. The other thing they do outside of masks is they have a delivery business. They're actually DHL. We figured this out. We also have a couple other minor characters from the main movie that turn into main ones here. Dr. Tyler being the one in charge of RoboCop Tyler is the name of one of the lead scientists or one of the main scientists in the movie. I guess it's called Tyler. It's the woman who in glasses, and when RoboCop has just come online and he's just sitting in the chair for a while, she like drunkenly kisses him on New Year's and stuff. So I think that's what they base that character on, but she's definitely a side character. And then the biggest one of all, Dr. McNamara. In the movie, McNamara is just a technician, and he's only in the scene when Ronnie Cox like demonstrates the Ed 209.
Right.
That's the only scene where he's sort of like at a little console that he's trying to, I guess, try to control it. And then, of course, they can't. And that's it. And he's gone. But now here, he's like the main bad guy. He's now sporting cool Morpheus sunglasses.
Yep. The ones that don't have like any side.
Right. They just connect to the bridge of your nose.
That's it.
And he's got a metal arm, which is really good for punching holes in the wall when meetings don't go well.
Mm-hmm.
But is unexplained otherwise. Is he part metal? Is he a cyborg? What is going on with him? I don't know. We never. They only lasted 12 episodes. We never got enough of them. But he is got a. He's still into the Ed or enforcement droids robot, though he doesn't have a 209. He has one that looks exactly like the 209, but it's the 260. Totally different. What's the difference between the two? None. In fact, they're still really bad, and he has it. His is trying to direct traffic, and guess what? It doesn't go well.
RoboCop is the most successful cybernetic product this company has ever produced.
Until the introduction of Ed 260, that is.
The enforcement droid. Are you still pushing that clunker? Sir, you can't possibly believe that...
Let's see what Dr. McNamara has to offer.
Thank you, sir. I have set up a simple demonstration of Ed 260's traffic control capabilities. I'm sure you'll find it most enlightening.
Out! Proceed!
Will you look at that? What'll they think of next?
Keep moving!
Yes, sir.
Harold, I left my purse at the hairdresser. We've just got to go back and get it.
You have made an illegal turn. Out.
Did you say something, honey?
I repeat, out.
For children!
But this is, in all fairness, this is one of those shows from the 80s where while there's an immense amount of violence, Right. Nobody dies.
Right. Everyone jumps to the side as Right. The car Yep. Explodes. And they're like, ooh, Right. I just jumped out of harm's way on that one.
Yeah.
It's also one where somebody can shoot a bazooka on a motorcycle and get pinpoint accuracy, and also the explosion is very well contained. That also happens. Also, not in this episode. Not
knock your ass off the motorcycle.
You're right. Unbelievably. Yeah. Dr. McNamara is voiced by Robert Boxtail, another Canadian voice actor. If that's a running theme, it's because every single person in this is a Canadian voice actor. He did voices before this for The Adventures of Teddy Ruxpin and Dennis the Menace. And he would be best known in Canada for appearing in a show about a Canadian Mountie called North 60. He did appear in a couple episodes of Forever Night, which is the TV series that they made off of the TV movie Nick Knight, which was made by New World Television. I don't believe they made the series. So that's as close as he gets to doing anything near a New World. But the interesting thing about it is that he voices McNamara. He also voices Murphy / RoboCop.
Oh, really?
So it's the same guy doing RoboCop and the bad guy.
Wow.
The main nemesis in the series.
That's anyway, cool.
That'll keep you busy.
Well, it's also probably cheaper that way.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway, since McNamara's Ed 260 does so poorly, he has to enlist the Vandals gang, which is a gang that hates arcades. They have a flamethrower. And they have a dog with metal armor on them, the puppy protector.
Arfmer, Ryan. Arfmer.
Pardon me, yes. And McNamara comes in, and he has a proposition for them.
I've heard that you gentlemen have some unusual abilities. I will pay you handsomely if you'll use those talents to go on a widespread crime spree.
Why would anyone pay us to do that?
I believe that if crime goes unchecked in old Detroit, RoboCop will be discredited.
Diswooded?
It will make him look bad.
What if the unusual abilities was like they were all, you know, part of Cirque du Soleil?
Right, right. They literally, there's what's funny about that clip is that there are no special talents except for one guy has a flamethrower and mm-hmm. one guy can build cars, which is an incredible yeah. talent.
And three of them can do a human pyramid. Okay, Ryan? They have that's right. special talents, okay?
One guy can cut through, like, a building's, like, support beam with a chainsaw that he and it does it with one hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly yeah. difficult.
Yeah.
So, RoboCop, he's got to fight the vandals. Of course he does. At the mall, and he gets jacked up after one of the vandals hits him with this car, his brand new car he built, and goes through several support beams.
Yep.
Murphy? Are you all right?
I think so.
Murphy!
This is a motif of the series, so I had to play a clip where yeah. she goes, Murphy, because that's like every episode.
It is.
He gets jacked up and they're like, oh no, what's going to happen to him? And then he like gets fixed up and then he ends up beating the guy. As Erica brought up earlier, that's pretty much how a lot of these episodes go.
Mm-hmm.
I love in this episode too, that they are driving cars through the mall, crashing into things. Mm-hmm. Thus leaving the mall structurally unsound, but
sure.
That's for our next podcast. Our is this earthquake safe podcast right. that exactly. we'll be doing later.
Exactly.
We're calling it Good Foundations. I'm drinking my Good Foundations. Good Foundations.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I can't wait right. to do that podcast.
Sounds boring, but it's so exciting.
It's like, and people are like, these guys do a lot of different podcasts. It's like, well, yeah, we have to keep this uh-huh. one going.
Right. Those all have huge listenership. Yeah. Amazingly. But so the cars are driving around and, you know, you just explained they crash into Murphy and then they cut to the local news covering this event. Mm-hmm. And somehow the news has the same shots of the cars driving through the mall. I thought, mm-hmm. wow, this news crew is all over the place. They yep. will put themselves in front of harm mm-hmm. to get that perfect shot.
They don't miss anything in that town. No. They honestly are more on top of it than the cops, you could argue.
Yeah. that's 100% true.
I was wondering if you were, I was watching that, him crash through all those support beams, and I was like, Mark's going to have a hard time with that one. He's going to go like, the whole building would collapse on all of them.
Yeah. Yep. I also thought, what mall has wide enough walkways that you can just willy-nilly drive these cars at that speed? You would crash into some... You mean there's no kiosks in the middle? No piercing pagoda just hanging out in the middle of the mall to crash into? No place that's selling you fucking phone cases that's in your way?
Where's the Orange Julius? Space? Where's that Orange Julius? Oh, you have to go to the piercing pagoda and then you turn right.
Right. And right. And then
when you go right, just look out for all the cars that are going to race by.
Yeah.
Right. Right. If they do, just step into Claire's right. and wait for them to pass, and then you can continue yeah. on your way.
Right. And then, don't buy anything. No one buys anything in Claire's, but it exists. It's still managed to survive.
Just to give you safe haven when the cars
from the cars. That's all it really is.
Right.
It's actually called Claire's Saint Haven from all the cars in the mall, but like it's too long, and so they just chopped it and made it Claire's.
But that is actually the legal name of the company.
Yeah, that's the actual name. That's LLC at the end. But
Move it out, Crash. We got a lot more killdozing to do.
So they do. They do fix up RoboCop, and back out he goes to take down the bad guys. This time, he takes on the Vandals and their killdozer, because they've made this massive killdozer.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems outmatched, but luckily Lewis is there to throw a smoke bomb into the killdozer and force the Vandals out, and then arrest... Nope, they caught her. Okay, well, that's over. Oh, well, that she... Okay, well, she did give him some time, I guess. And also, the killdozer is also still fine, so it's also back. Because she didn't actually do any damage to it. So RoboCop seems down for the count. He's hurt, but he can't find his gun. And so he hurls a steel beam at the killdozer, which gives him enough time to find his gun, and then blows up the gas tank. And he saves the day. Though, tons of destruction all over the place.
Tons of destruction.
Tons of destruction. No one's mad about that.
Nobody. You know,
He got rid of those the gang members. And was there any repercussions for Dr. McNamara giving them all this money so they could cause a crime spree that RoboCop successfully brought down? No.
Nope.
It's just McNamara at the end promising.
RoboCop may be a hero for now, but someday I'll show the world what he really is. Just a pile of nuts and bolts.
Does he know? And does he often try to like get revenge on him? Not really. He's always kind of against him, but he's not like, I will bring him down and prove my robots the better. Sort of, but not really.
Well, he's patient. It takes him a long... R&D takes him a little while. So, you know, he is saying that one day I'll get him. And then he kind of dips out. He's working on new robot for a while. And, you know, takes time.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of amazing in the movie, and that's one thing to think about, which I don't think I've ever thought about it, but like that they have the Ed 209, and that has such a big problem. And another guy, Miguel Ferrer, I believe, is also like, I have a project, which is like a human robot thing. But everybody had robots on their brain, and there was at least two competing robot projects. It's kind of amazing that was the case. They do take time. They take time to perfect. And that's probably his Achilles heel. It's not even RoboCop. It's the fact that he doesn't give himself enough time for R&D in order to perfect his invention.
For sure.
He's got brilliant inventions. He's in too much of a rush.
Yeah, and he's one of those people that he's a developer, not a quality assurance analyst. He's not going to do the QA on it. He's like, it's good to go. We'll do it live. We're good. Just ship it. We're ready to go. Like, you should really do full regression testing on this bad boy. Nope, we're good. Trust me, we've got it this time.
Don't waste your time. That way. We don't need
it. Never works that way. It is shocking how much crime takes place in new and old Detroit, given that robots are like a regular part of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody's shocked when they see a robot. They might be annoyed, but a robot with full laser machine guns ready to blow up a shopping mall, let alone you. It's surprising people are still committing all those crimes.
Yeah.
It's amazing that a city so full of so much crime also still has so many malls.
Yeah,
that's the mall to crime ratio. Mark, can you crunch that for us really quick here?
Well, it is. Remember, the mall to crime ratio would be higher in, I don't know. This is the 80s. Malls were a big thing then, you know?
They're very big, yeah.
Kids today, I don't think they recognize the impact that malls had on our lives back then.
Now malls are so lame, kids don't even want to do crimes there. They're like, so no interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You come back, you're like, dude, I stole some cool shit at a mall. They'd be like, at a mall? Lame. It's so dumb.
That's so easy. You gotta try harder.
Now it is time for things we loved, and also it is time for things we did not love.
Spoken like a real human and machine. Let's talk about the things we love, the things we hated about RoboCop, the animated series. Mark, what did you love?
I have to admit, like, and this is, it's going to date me, but I loved how 1980s Saturday morning cartoon this was.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah, Ryan, you'll know I was never a big cartoon watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And this had all the hallmarks of cartoons that I would have hated in the 1980s.
Yeah.
It's that really cheap computer animation that they were doing. Like, He-Man had this. G.I. Joe had it. Everybody's moving in almost like a stop motion fashion because they were just cranking this crap out as fast as they could. Mm-hmm. The angles in many of the car chase scenes are totally off because they're just like, we'll just have it move out to the distance, which means we'll have it move up the screen. And you're like, well, I mean, yeah, kind of. It doesn't really look like it's moving away, but you know, it's just all those
things. Painted backgrounds that are kind of like painted backgrounds. They don't really,
There's no shadows, so things just look flat on top of the painted background. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe I'm saying this. There's something. Cartoons aren't made that way anymore, and for good reason.
Yeah.
But there's sort of a charm to it that you don't see anymore.
Yeah.
It would be great to see a modern, I don't know, Nick at Night or some modern cartoon just be like, we're going to do it in the style of this.
Again. On Nick at Night is what you're thinking?
Do you mean I don't know.
You mean like Adult Swim?
Yeah, that thing.
Nick at Night.
Okay. On the Comedy Channel, if I can date myself even more.
You know, they should do one of those like after a rerun of All in the Family or something, you know?
Isn't that the award show that happens right around the same time as Can? Is the All in the Family award show? No, I just think it would be funny to see someone do a send up where they'd make it look just like these cartoons, because all cartoons looked like this at one point in time.
They really did. Yeah.
Also, I loved and kind of hated almost every side character or sort of sub character looks like everybody else. So you kind of forget who's who.
Yeah.
They're all just sort of generic white guy with reddish hair. And you're like,
yep.
Who is that guy again? I don't really remember.
I had to go back and like double check. I was like, are the Vandals the same gang as the beginning of the movie that are breaking in the blood bank? They're not.
Or the assassins towards the end?
But they're not. But if you were to say, no, they definitely are, Ryan, right now, I'd be like, are they though? Like I went back and watched them again. And I had the laptop and the TV going, and I'm like, nope, I'm comparing. And I'm like, you could still convince me that they were, because they looked so close. I'm like,
right.
I don't know. I don't, maybe, because yes, they look very, very similar. And then like the guy plays Hedgecock. I almost said Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Hedgecock, that guy, he looks so generic. When he pops back up, you're like, is he in later series? You're like, is he the same guy that's always complaining about RoboCop? He's got to be, right? Like, but he looks just, he's just undistinguishable, really.
Hedgecock looks like the lieutenant, and both of them look like the bad guy who was playing Archer when they take his mask off, except the Archer guy has a mustache. But the rest of his face looks exactly the same.
I thought you meant like Archer the cartoon, and I was like, wait, did the Archer step, was he into this? But I know what you're talking about, the guy who's pretending to be Robin Hood, essentially. Yeah.
Yes.
Erica, what's something that you loved?
I, too, love the animation, Mark. I 100% agree with you there. It was completely nostalgic. I've always loved that animation style. Yeah, love that, too. Absolutely. I also love the extensive use of the thigh gun. He pops that thigh gun out. Just, you barely have to do anything. And he's like, oh, did you... Somebody is a little trouble here. You rolled through a stop sign. I got my thigh gun out. Like that just.
Well, those shots you can reuse too. So like when you have once you get the one shot of the thigh gun coming out of his leg, you're like, we can throw that in any time. And that's
And they did. And it was terrific.
Why would you not use that thigh gun? I would use it all the time. I'd
impress
the ladies with my thigh gun.
Was the choppiness of that animation just like the fact that computers couldn't render fast enough? So like things were just kind of not render. Like they have a sort of like choppy quality to it.
I don't know. That would be worth doing some research. I didn't crunch the numbers on that. But I remember at the time, because remember they weren't hand drawing everything. This is the fast way to crank it out. So you kind of like drew parts and then they would stitch it together with just using a computer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, you don't have everything drawn in succession. It's just like, to move it quickly, you're not going to hand draw everything. And we didn't quite have computers that were powered enough to render it with like animation platforms like you do now, like, you know, Toy Story, where you actually have like 3D rendering and all of that. We just weren't there. We were in this funny middle ground where computers were letting them do this stuff really quick, but it kind of looks crappy.
Yeah. My final thing that I loved was just, we have to mention and give a big shout out to RoboVision. When you see through Murphy's point of view, and it just looks horrible. Like it's like when you buy those sunglasses that have all the lines in it, you're like, oh, these are going to look awesome. But then you realize it's just like, you're trying to look through mini blinds. Like that's kind of what you're like, I can't quite like, oh, yeah, this is terrible. Totally. That's what RoboVision looked like. And I'm like, this is what makes him an accurate shot. This is horrible. This should make him terrible wielding that thigh gun, but it didn't. He did a great job.
Well, the thing I loved was something I sort of brought up earlier. The sergeant speaking in all sports sayings, metaphors, idioms, however you want to say it. That was a thing that I loved. And so I have a little compilation of them.
Nice.
Where in blazes is RoboCop?
Dr. Tyler took him down to maintenance to be reprogrammed.
Blast that woman! We can't afford to have our best player on the bench. Keep it moving. It's fourth and goal out there, and I need every available man and woman. There's no time for signing papers, kid. The clock's running out. Look at this place. Everyone's beat and we're still being tackled. We need some backup. Where is RoboCop?
they kept that for like a bit, like that he always spoke and these sort of, I was like, once he started it, I was like, this is amazing. What an amazing thing to give this character. And then he does it like once or twice more and then it stops. And I was like, so that's kind of what I hated, is that come on, you don't take that away. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's an incredible thing. That's his thing.
Yeah. You got to keep that up. Maybe they were just kind of like, I don't know. We used them all in the first episode, but if he just kept saying stuff like that, that would have been amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
RoboCop, you got to take aim and you got to shoot your shot. Just constantly talking about things in that way. You know, I don't know. I would have loved that.
Murphy, there's no I in team. And there's also no I in Murphy. But there is an I in Lewis Murphy. Murphy!
There's also no Murphy in me.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Nice. Yeah,
we know. Nice. We all know. Everyone but you, but RoboCop knows. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I said what I hated. Mark, what is something you hated?
Erica touched on this. Like, every episode's the same. Mm-hmm. It's always the same. It's that some bad guy is doing something that is ridiculous. I mean, I'll give it that. Every plan is ridiculous. Like the episode where they do go to the California, middle of California, I don't know, the Sequoias or the Redwoods, wherever they are. And there's an OCP plant that's like tearing up the trees and putting forever plastics into the river. And nobody knows about this. I mean, you can't build shit without pulling a permit. They got to know what's going on out there. But either way, it's always
RoboCop. But at that point, like in this society, isn't OCP the only one who would give the permit? The state has to give you the permit in order
to build anything. But is there
the state? OCP seems to run everything.
They went to California. That was that episode.
I know. I'm just saying.
So in order for OCP to build anything, you got to pull permits from the state of California. You got to pull permits if you're going to build a treehouse in California.
I don't know how the states works in the Robo universe. Like, I'm not sure how it's all working at this point.
I'm going to trust that it's just more paperwork than it is today, not less.
Right. So, sure. But this is, at like, any rate, they say it's in the near future, but it feels like we're in the far future, right? I mean, robots are everywhere. Like,
but yet no one has a cell phone. So how far in the future are we? Yep. Is this full dystopian at this point?
Yeah. You know?
Well, they would use their phones, but it drives the robots insane. So they had to stop. They just had to...
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I can hear it. I hear your conversation. Please stop.
It's time to hang up. It's 10 o'clock. Time to go to bed.
Lewis, aren't you on the clock? Should you really be taking a personal call right now?
Yeah, it wasn't the robots that were getting that were being driven mad. The humans were like, fuck it. It's not worth it. They get they just give me so much shit every time I'm on the phone. I'm not even going to bother. But I guess the thing I hated is that in the end, the plot of every episode is exactly the same. RoboCop almost dies. Oh, no, he doesn't. He saved the day. And... Yeah. We're going to hear a whole lot of Murphy. And
right before the commercial break, basically, that's like the big
right.
like second
He's
act.
Bulletproof. He's fireproof. He can go to any altitude. He can be in any temperature. He can go underwater. He can do it all. Truly.
Right.
He can do
but
it
all.
Doesn't matter.
He gets beaten up really easily.
Yeah, right. Constantly. Like, constantly.
Like the Vandals in that first episode, the Vandals like run him over with a killdozer, but also at one point they all surround him and one guy punches him and he falls backwards. And I'm like, that would hurt the person doing the punch. Unless that person is so strong. Like, I feel like turn the camera around on the guy who punched him. Cause holy crap, he does have a superpower, you know?
Yeah.
It was like what they did is they tried to like make the villain at least somewhat more interesting. That's how you could at least kind of like, make that formula more interesting. And they kind of do like the second episode's the Scrambler one.
Is that the one where they have like the fake Geraldo Rivera reporter?
No, but that one is amazing.
Yes. That's
no,
right.
Scrambler's the one where he hacks into RoboCop and he makes RoboCop like do
Oh,
his
right,
bidding.
Right, right.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
But no, the Geraldo Rivera, like there are some things in these episodes that are also like so 80s. And like, I was not even thinking about it at first, but I would, cause I was just like so running with that trope. But Eric was like, he's supposed to be like Geraldo Rivera, right? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Like, I was just like, oh, sure, celebrity journalist. Like, that was the 80s. Yeah. But I was like, wasn't even thinking of the specific guy.
OCP's RoboCop project is still experimental. And this city is the testing ground. So far, no one has been hurt by RoboCop. But clearly, this half man, half machine. Is programmed for violence.
Erica, something you hated.
The only thing I hated was honestly in the very last episode, and that was when the Ultra Weapons team was brought in. And they're brought in and they're set up like, oh, it's Wheels and it's Ace, and Wheels rides a motorcycle and he's got a bazooka, and Ace flies the helicopter, I think, or maybe he drove a fast car. There was like three guys and they all did something in particular, and then they immediately get their asses kicked. So I was like, what was the point in the very last episode of the series? Maybe they didn't know it was going to be the last one, but what is the point of bringing these three guys in and then having them immediately get taken down? It made no sense at all.
I guess we'll switch to favorite episode because that was my favorite episode. Episode 12, Menace of the Mind. Where RoboCop is aided by the Ultra Police Team, and that is Ace Jackson, Wheels Wilson, and Birdman Barnes. And this felt
Birdman
like
Birdman Barnes, yes.
This felt like real G.I. Joe shit as we went through their various skills and shit and their different
costumes. It was totally a G.I. Joe ripoff.
And I was like, there's a good reason for it.
RoboCop. Part man, part robot, all cop. The ultimate in law enforcement. RoboCop and the Ultra Police. The only cops with rapid repeat cap firing.
He's unstoppable.
Battling the worst criminals. Headhunter and Nitro. The Ultra Police, protected by Robo Armor, bring RoboCop even more firepower. In the fight for justice, nothing can stop RoboCop. RoboCop and the Ultra Police, each sold separately with RoboCaps.
Yeah, with RoboCaps. So you can flip down the back and fill in other caps, and then you would just, like, just hit the cap thing on the backpack, uh-huh. and it would fire caps. So you're these little mm-hmm. toys that fire caps, and you could get the whole Ultra Squad, the Ultra Police Squad. You could get the Sergeant. I mean,
so when did this come out relative
course,
to the show?
Lewis,
of course,
all in '88. These are all like toys that came out in '88. And of course, that I was like this. I mean, the inclusion of those three guys is because it's a shameless. Like, are we trying to sell some toys? And then I went and found that commercial. Yeah. I was like, hell yes, we're trying to sell some toys. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Like, let's sell those toys and then annoy these parents with the caps. So they're like, that is the most annoying. You're sitting in a room and it's just caps, caps, caps. It's driving me insane. I can't stand it. But anyway, that's my favorite episode. That was like, oh yeah, something RoboCop does not need. Yeah. I love it.
Right.
I love it. I love how shameless it is. It's fantastic. But yep, that's what they did. And I love that episode. Let's go to your favorite episodes. Erica, what was your favorite episode?
I spoiled this earlier. My favorite episode was Into the Wilderness, where they leave the city and their plane goes down in the forest, in the wilderness, and Murphy is saved by just a biologist who's there, who lives there and was just
living off the grid. Just
living off the grid and also protecting the land. And it's just
living
terrific.
How we used to live. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what she was like. This is how That's we right. used to live like this.
Yeah, I love it. I think two of my favorite things in that episode are, one, when she revives him, he's laying on a bearskin rug.
Yes.
So yes. She's just a biologist who loves animals and nature, and also possibly slaughtered a bear so that she can use its fur for a rug. Also, when they're being chased at one point, she drops her purse and it gets blasted and she's like, my purse! And I'm like, you live in the wilderness! What the fuck do you need a purse for? Why do you have your purse?
She's like, oh, I better get a better test the water in the stream today. Ooh, a bear, you're dead. I got you. I got a new rug.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Bear could have already been dead when she found it.
I mean, just... I knew you were like, no, there's other avenues to get a bear.
Also, I mean, Erica, you don't know, like, she may need those like heavy flow overnight pads and she can't shove those in her pockets. She needs the purse.
Sure. I guess I'll just assume she was having a heavy flow and was being chased and thought, sure. I just want to make sure when I'm running for my life that I don't have an accident and I don't want to spring a leap while I'm running for my life. So let me just get my purse with my big super tampons and pads in it while we run for our lives.
I'm glad you see it my way.
It makes perfect sense.
You said adult diapers, so you're just saying that she's like, she may be a brilliant scientist, but also she's incontinent and she can't. So she just, you know, but you know what? She's got enough pride that she's like, I'm going to make this discreet and I'm going to carry around a handbag in the forest. So if I need to change behind a bush, of which there are many because it's a forest, I can pull another adult diaper out of my handbag. We're doing a lot of work here. Mark, we're doing a lot of work for the show.
The man in the iron suit, the one with Lieutenant Hedgecock. Really,
yeah,
because
he
doesn't lose his shit until he asks Lewis out on a date and she turns him down. Then he's like, oh dude, RoboCop, I'm gonna take you down. So I mean it's like the only one that's kind of a classic love story. Then they have like the obstacle course fight where they destroy half of Detroit while the police are just watching.
Yeah, that's right.
Presumably placing bets on who's going
to
win.
It's a game. It's a game to destroy.
At one point, there's a thief that takes a grandma hostage and he gets distracted and she kicks him off. He gets knocked down. She pushes him off like a third story balcony. I mean, I know in the episode he lands on like a pile of sacks of flour, so he's fine, but I'm like, you know, that guy's dead. Like, grandma, you just killed a guy, right? But okay, that's
and sacks
that's
of flour aren't soft.
No, they're not soft.
It's not like when guys or stuntmen are jumping off of like a building, they're like, hey, should we just get all the boxes out or just blow up that giant? No. Just get sacks of flour. I'll land on that. They're really soft. It's just totally soft. Fine. It's totally super fine. Soft. Super soft. It's flour.
Yeah. It's flour. You throw it up in the air and it's just, it's so light. It's so light. It just floats in the air.
Yeah.
So when I land on it,
I might bounce off of how soft it is. Like I'm falling into a mattress, like a plush mattress.
I might sink into it.
That's what I sleep on at night. Just bags of flour. It's so soft. It feels so, good. Soft.
Oh, yeah.
It's also what I wipe my butt with. It's so soft.
Just loose flour? That's what you wipe your butt with?
Well, yeah, it's like a...
Yeah, that's right.
All you have to do is you just... It's like talcum powder. You just kind of splash it up there. And
that's what I have. Clumps, I have one of those.
It clumps like kitty litter. It clumps like kitty litter. It falls away from your butthole.
It's perfect. It's a trick. No one knows about this. Yeah, it's really simple. Fill your hand with flour. Dab it along your butthole crack, and just dab until all of the poop is off in the flour.
It just falls away,
and it just falls off, falls into it, and.
I mean, it falls like a feather. It's so light. Just
so light. So
back
light
and forth
soft.
Down to the bowl. So nice.
Oh, you use toilet paper? Ew.
Hey, Ryan, why is there a sack of flour next to the toilet?
Oh, well, I had to take a dump.
Maybe that's what was in her purse, was right. Flour.
There's flour.
Yeah, that makes way more sense.
If she has to go while she's out in the middle of the forest, you know what I mean?
That's why she was so pissed when I got blown up. She was like, damn it.
Yeah.
How am I going to wipe my ass now?
My bags of flour. Oh, all right, well, I have only a couple final questions, but here we go.
Oh, okay. We are at final questions. Okay.
Yeah.
Thought we did this later in the show.
Yeah,
we do. We do it around now.
Oh, I mean, we're changing it up, everybody.
Okay,
changing
we're not.
It up.
It's the same. It's been the same forever. But so who was this for?
Ugh, I would love to know that. I don't know. Kids who want to be cops, I guess. Scientists, people who have been almost fatally wounded.
It's like for kids who saw the trailer, but their parents wouldn't let them see the show, like the movie, because it's like ultra violent. And so they're like, this is as close as I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember, I mean,
RoboCop was a big deal. It was like kind of a pop culture thing.
Yeah.
And if you were 10, you were not seeing RoboCop. I mean, unless you lived in our house.
I was about to say we saw it. I mean, times were different back then. You got to think too. Like this is like at the late '80s when like all the stuff that was scary before, like you know, you got Freddy Krueger is now on a TV show, and he's just like Mr. One Liner, and all the stuff that was like scary. I mean, that stuff would become what was popular for adults got popular for the kids. Clearly,
yep.
Because the next property that they made the movie, they turned it into a kids' cartoon. Much like they were turning Freddy into just like a TV show because he was like comical at a certain point.
Yeah.
It's like those kinds of things. That's how the 80s were kind of going, you know?
Sure. Just like Friday 13th, the series, how they made it just like the movie, but like
just,
on TV.
Just like the movie. That's right. When Jason owned a knickknack shop of antiques. And they were haunted. What if Jason really had done that? That would be amazing. And he would have to figure it out. And he can't talk.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be like, whoo.
Yeah. I mean, you say what you want about Jason, but he is a savvy investor.
I inherited this from my mom. So I already played you the commercial of the RoboCop Ultra Police toy line. Which one do you think is the most expensive one to try to purchase today?
Ooh, good question. Can you run through the his?
I think
his, go for it, Erica.
Oh, I was going to say the helicopter.
The vehicles are expensive, certainly, but that's not the most expensive.
Ah, damn.
Is it one of the characters of his police buddies?
No.
Is it RoboCop?
No, but you're getting closer.
Lieutenant Hedgecock?
Yep. No.
RoboDog?
I don't think they have RoboDog. That would be amazing if they did.
Boy.
Yeah, it is the robot, the Ed 260.
What?
No kidding. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that is the most expensive one to try to get.
Because people want it now, but I bet as kids, people were like, no, pass. Like, nobody wanted that one.
Well, it's the one that's closest really to the movie outside of RoboCop, obviously. That's like the one.
But it seems lame.
So I think that's the one that people love that. People love that. Wow. So to have that in a toy form, I think that's what people go crazy for.
That's surprising.
Do they have a Prince Zoraz doll?
No, I don't think so. No, oh, I wish. I mean, they clearly were incomplete with this with this whole line. Speaking of the research, Marvel Productions is what puts this out. Owned by New World at the time, they owned Marvel, and they'd owned Marvel Productions. And guess who ran it? Stan Lee. Wow. He had switched off of publishing and editorial in New York, and he had moved himself out to Los Angeles to help run Marvel Productions and create TV shows and movies. In fact, he told the LA Times in September 1988, when I was in comics, I was doing all this work that excited me. But all of that time, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if I could get involved in movies and animation? So now I'm here, and that's what I'm doing. I'm one of the most fortunate people I know. This was part of the Marvel Action Universe syndicated block of shows that started in 1988 and continued until 1991. They didn't always have original programming, but this initial block did have original programming. It started with the TV show Dino Riders, which we will eventually have to cover.
Oh boy.
Wow.
And then RoboCop, and then it was followed by Spider-Man reruns from two different previous shows, one being Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And another one was a Spider-Man animated series. So they would like fill in this block with other syndicated and rerun superhero shows, but that still ran for several years. Another key part of the RoboCop cartoon was that there was money for a 13th episode that was put aside, because what they did is then they made an X-Men pilot.
Okay.
Which is called X-Men, Pride of the X-Men, narrated by Stan Lee, which New World then also played during this block and then released it on to video via New World Video. And so we will eventually talk about that episode.
Nope.
And yep, because I do have it on VHS. So we will be getting to that one.
Why do you have it on VHS?
This is the only way you can get it. The only way you can get it. X-Men,
maybe some things are meant to not get.
Because we're going to talk about it on the podcast. It's the only way we could see it. Shortly after Marvel Universe debuted, New World sold its interest in Marvel. So 1988, this is when this whole starts, is in the end of 88. In fact, I think October 1st, 1988 is the very first day of this block, Saturday. That's when Dino Riders and RoboCop debuted. And in 1989, January, New World sells its interest in Marvel, selling the company to McAndrews and Forbes Holding for $82.5 million, which you've mentioned probably before. Though this didn't include Marvel Productions. Marvel Productions, they do continue to hold on to, and that becomes still a part of New World. New World then sells in like May or so, summer of 1989. And that is, again, the Andrews Group buys up the rest of New World. And Marvel stays with them in New World Television. So they would still continue to make TV shows and things, some of which we've discussed, including the Generation X live action movie that they made for television, New World did. So what happened then is that they would not only had Marvel Productions still with New World, but they also had New World Animation, and that would all be bought by Fox in 1996 when Fox bought up all of New World. And then Fox Family, so if you're thinking this show is a part of Disney, it is, but that's because they actually bought Fox Family in 2001 for $5.8 billion in 2001. And when Disney bought Marvel Studios, granted they'd only put out a few movies, but they bought Marvel Studios for $4 billion.
Huh.
So something about that Fox family is just something more, I guess,
wow,
more established. And Stan Lee at the time was trying to make also other shows. He wanted to try and make Daredevil, Submariner, Iron Man. He was trying to create all these shows for TV. That's what largely what he was doing in the late 80s and 90s for Marvel Productions. But what they did make, Dino Riders and RoboCop. And a couple other shows we'll get to, but...
So was there ever another season that they were thinking of doing, or was like this pretty much it? Like,
that was hard for me to find out. I don't think that this, for whatever reason, they didn't do another series of this. And I'm not sure why. The rights to this series, like I said, has gone up the chain to Disney. But the rights to RoboCop remained with Orion Pictures, who, you know, made the movie. So obviously they continue to make movies and so on. But I would imagine it was because it was just difficult to get kids into talking about hanging out with RoboCop for a while. You know, yep. That would be my guess. Or really could have been just the fact that they've sold basically Marvel off. So at that point, they probably were like, eh, we're not going to go back to that. So that's it. That is RoboCop, the animated series, our very first episode in our Robotober series. So you're going to want to stick around because we have the wildest stuff that we've ever talked about, including a brand new company that New World also owned that we are now going to be introducing to the podcast. A whole line of stuff that they released in another company.
So excited. So excited.
So much stuff that we're going to be talking about at Robotober. If you want to hear all of it, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you'll find all of our episodes. So we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.